The penalty train rolls on.
What the f*** are we doing, man? Like, the f*** up. F***ing mental mistakes all f***ing day.
Way to finish the day. That's a great drive to finish it. I know it's a frustrating,
embarrassing performance by us. F***ing embarrassing.
Listen, we'll address it. We'll address it, but at the same time, let's enjoy some f***ing wins again.
That. We sucked today. Okay. That was embarrassing.
Okay.
We jumped off sides eight times.
I know that.
You know, I understand that we won the game and we want to be happy that we win the game, but at the same time, when things aren't good enough, I'm not going to act like they were.
That is a clip from season two of Quarterback on Netflix. Joe Burrow, one of the quarterbacks being highlighted in this.
I thought that that was an Xbox chat room.
It's so funny. Derek,
I got Josh with that one.
I'm not at that episode yet, and that's the thing with Netflix. They release everything in one go, so you kind of got to catch up. Like, you get about 6 hours of breathing room before everyone spoils everything. I'm not at that point yet. Where I'm at in it, Burrow is handling everything way too well. Like, that yes. It is a big thing I've taken from this is I'm like, dude, you're 0-3. Like, you're making some comments, but you're handling it very well. Like, so I'm really interested. They win that game. It's a game against Tennessee.
Yep.
They win it, and they kind of win it by a lot. I think they win it by 12 points, 37-25, something like that. They win it pretty comfortably, and that man is upset. I mean, you heard all the beeps that Josh had to put in there. I also find it funny. Zach Taylor, who I have my issues with as a head coach. I think a lot of their issues kind of stem from him not being the best coach in the world. It is funny. He very much sounds like the stereotypical parent that's trying to calm his kid down.
Yes.
Because his kid's too intense during sports.
I will say.
It's so funny.
Actually, they only won by 10 against
Tennessee. They only won by 10, okay.
It was 37-27.
Okay.
That made them 6-8, by the way.
That was the part I was going to get to is this is the beginning of that losing streak or that winning streak at the end of the year where one loss kills them. They're done.
So Burrow's thinking big picture.
Burrow's
we're
thinking big
picture.
We're
not playing good enough. I don't care that we just won one game. We've got to win them all.
We need to keep going, and we need to not even keep going. We need to be better if we're going to have a shot at the playoffs. That's what this was during. So I do like that. Like, there's some context in it now.
Right.
This is late. This is do or literally die for your playoff hopes.
It's funny you say that. They were having those conversations in week four of like, but we've got nothing to lose. Let's go. It's funny how fast an NFL season can get behind you.
It's so different though when you say that, because I will always go back to this, Zach. 2 years ago when the Buffalo Bills were in the Sunday night lineup for AFC East and it was potentially or nothing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you and I thought it'll be so chaotic and awesome. The energy would be incredible if it's East or you miss the playoffs. And then we were staring down the barrel of the gun and we did not like it.
No,
in live time.
It was awful.
In live time, we collapsed into, oh my God, this is the worst thing that we can ever experience.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say that, oh, we got nothing to lose. And then you are put up against having something to lose. You're a liar.
Yeah, it's not a fun place to be.
We have nothing to lose. And then it proves that, no, you do have something to lose. You're swearing enough to where a chat moderator in an Xbox server is going, this is too much.
This is even far for me.
Playing Halo with the buddies and like that's the chat server and they're going, that was extreme.
Yeah, it's just I'm excited. I've really enjoyed the documentary. I think also like I'm getting jazzed up for Hard Knocks with the Bills. Like I was already excited for it. I thought it really could happen when they changed the rules. Now that we're getting we're like 2-3 weeks away from camp starting, I'm real excited for it. There's a Wishbone documentary come out on like their SEC stories, those ESPN smaller 30 for 30s, specifically on the SEC. I'm excited for that, but like QB season two, I think because they nailed the three quarterbacks, I think they stumbled into that. But ultimately, it still worked. I think all three of them have good stories. Burrow, again, still is like the guy I'm watching. And so I probably actually finish the season tonight or at least get close to it. We'll see about that. But I've just enjoyed it. But it has also led me to thinking it's hard for me to really be that worried about the Bengals. I don't like their head coach. I really despise their defense. And the ownership continues to be arguably one of the biggest jokes in football. 803-0550, the number two call. We go to the phone lines. Rob is up first. Rob, how are we doing today?
Derek and Zach, how are you guys doing today?
Doing well, my friend.
What's good, Rob?
Doing well.
It's been a minute.
It's great to catch up with you guys, you know? And I was just telling Josh that, you know, I've been going through a lot of withdrawals, not being able to listen about football and everything. And today you guys are talking about football, and I'm like, oh, it's coming. 2 weeks or two and a half weeks, we'll be back in camp and everything. But everything that you guys have been talking about today, as far as like what teams are going to be good and tier one and finishing out, you know, the Bills this year, I feel that they're definitely, they have a lot of potential to be, you know, take that number one seed. And the thing is, if we can put up the numbers like we did offensively, and our offense is as strong as they were last year, it's the defense that I think is going to keep us in it even more, because we beefed up so much on the defense. And that's what I think I'm more excited about. It's the offense that I'm not concerned about. So if we can have that complementary football, I think we'll definitely be able to get in the number one seed. Of course, the Ravens are going to be there. Of course, Kansas City. But I don't think Kansas City is going to have to fight for it this year, because we saw them kind of go on a downfall, right? And now you got Denver who's coming up, like you guys were talking about. And as far as the Steelers, listen, even before they did sign Aaron Rodgers, I don't think they're going to win more than 7 games this year. I call 7. That's it. They're not going to do anything this year. As far as the Bengals, they're going to fight a little bit here and there. But I'm really excited about Buffalo. I'm a game at a time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, you know, the one thing that does scare me is the fact that, you know, we're favored in every game this year. And it's just, that kind of scares me, because I just look at a game at a time when it comes to the Buffalo Bills. Once we get through it, we win, that's great. Nothing's promised. Keep doing what you guys are doing. It's always a great pleasure to catch up with you guys. Thank you very much.
Rob, good to hear from you again.
Always great to hear from you, Rob. I love his prediction on the Steelers.
Yes.
7 wins. Now, on that,
and I
had the thought the moment Rob said it, it's not because people hate Tomlin, but if we're getting towards the end of the year, and it's like, guys, they may not have a win. It may be a losing record.
Yeah.
Is that something that like NFL fans start cheering about? Like, is that something where like people are locked in to see if the Steelers do get a losing record?
I don't think that enough people care about that mediocrity.
I agree. I think it's very much sicko kind of guy that like loves it.
It's not because of that. It's because of what Aaron Rodgers has become as such an enigma.
Ooh.
It like right idea, wrong angle.
Wrong angle, yeah.
It's so, not Tomlin. It's Rodgers.
Yeah.
That's where people will cheer for their downfall, because Rodgers has become such a hateable figure.
That all of a sudden, he doesn't pull the Manning and Brady.
And
he instead goes to the Jets, tire fire. Goes to the Steelers, tire fire, retires.
It's also, of course, Aaron Rodgers is the one that ruins your winning
totally
record streak.
Yeah, he would. He would get that.
That's where it comes from. And like I said, I think you're right. It's just a different angle. It's Aaron Rodgers. It's not. I don't think enough people care about Mike Tomlin that they're going to prey on his downfall.
Yeah, they're going to.
Most fans will be like, no, you stay mediocre, okay? We'll let the Steelers just keep spinning your tires, okay?
Because that's the thing. I don't actually think people want the Steelers to win like 2 games.
No.
No one wants them to all of a sudden just get their next all-time quarterback and they're back up in 2 years.
Teams are perfectly happy with Pittsburgh's complacency.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fans of other teams, absolutely thrilled that Pittsburgh is just going to keep themselves happily treading water as the 6 or 7 seed every year, and none of it matters. They are just irrelevant in the sports landscape, ultimately. It's never stop your opponent from making a mistake. And even if the Steelers win 2 games, that's not a mistake anymore. That's, you get to reset.
Yeah. It's because even if you keep Tomlin, what's the big thing with Tomlin? We all kind of wonder, like, what would he be without a head case for a quarterback? Because even Roethlisberger, as good as he was, his teammates didn't want him doing radio shows, and he basically, you know, metaphorically and maybe even literally flipped him the bird and kept doing it.
Yes. And throwing teammates under the bus while doing it. Continuously so.
So you wonder if they all of a sudden, again, 2-3 wins, you're near the number one overall pick, and they do get a guy like a Drew Aller, Pennsylvania guy. I think the Steelers would love that to get a Penn State quarterback, even though I know Pitt and Penn have a rivalry, but Pennsylvania guy. Cade Klubnik out of Clemson. I've mentioned both those names today. If they got those guys, there's all of a sudden the feeling of like, oh man, Tomlin's got a guy that actually has like elite traits. Because when they drafted Kenny Pickett, he didn't have any.
He didn't have any.
He had none of it.
As a matter of fact, he had a detrimental one. Yeah, small hands.
Small hands. He just had a great last college season after, you know, starting for 4 years. You would hope he would put together a good year.
Yeah, the way that people would prey on the downfall is because of Aaron Rodgers. Like, if they win two games with Rodgers as a starting quarterback, good Lord, his legacy is, I wouldn't say fully tarnished, but man, that is an ugly mark at the end of it.
And that's the thing is, it's always tough to think back on a guy fondly if the end is so bad. Now, sports, it's a little bit easier because we all remember the prime years. Aaron Rodgers is still won multiple MVPs, has a Super Bowl, was, I argue, better than Brett Favre in Green Bay. But the last few years have been such a, it almost feels like a switch in his personality.
It's such like, aggressively.
Favre was always Favre. And if you ever watched that documentary on him on Netflix, funny enough too, like even radio hosts and people in Green Bay mentioned like, we loved him because we won, but like there was always like the warning signs.
Right.
Rodgers, it doesn't totally feel like that. It just always feels like he was a little bit more prickly and it maybe a little more
the
difficult to work with.
The warning signs happened in the early 2010s when his brother said, yeah, we don't talk to him
yeah,
anymore.
But like that was the warning sign.
That was the
like,
warning sign and we ignored it.
Yeah. But he wasn't like a quote-unquote, like I can't even say now he's a bad guy. He's just annoying.
It's that's the thing is that it's annoying. And it is
like Favre, I think, is a, just based off all the reports. I'm not. He seems to be a bad guy.
Oh, really?
Rodgers, I think, is just annoying.
I was gonna say the guy with the welfare issue in Mississippi is a bad guy.
Yeah, potentially.
Saber's Live's coming up next,
right? Like, but more at 11.
Yeah, but Rodgers, it seemed like he was this mellow personality at
California
first.
Cool.
California cool, hosting Jeopardy every now and then, you know, like a little bit of an intellectual, but not in an annoying way. And then 2020 happened.
And like kind of since, it's been, he's tough to deal with. It also sounds like no one wants him to do the Pat McAfee show anymore, but Roethlisberger keeps doing it.
But also, him even saying, and at least Roethlisberger didn't, like to his credit, he didn't say this part of, like we need to be able to avoid the distractions, bro. You are the distraction.
Yeah, you're the distraction.
Roethlisberger never necessarily said that in those words. He did say something else that was like a bad taste in the mouth, which was like, you know, the young guys need to follow me, bro. You were a problem the minute you got drafted. So
yeah, like, his early years, he had a lot of off the field stuff.
Yeah, and it wasn't
a lot of off the field stuff.
Like also just like around Pittsburgh, how he mistreated like serving staff, anything like that. There were plenty of reports about that. And like, but Rodgers, it is, you came on aggressively with your annoying portion of your personality and this aggressive switch that everyone wants you to fail.
Yeah.
To a point where like, yeah, please stop going on McAfee. No. Okay.
Like fine. But yeah, like, I mean like, and this
for the Jets to tell you enough's enough.
Yeah.
That's just saying more about you than the Jets.
But it is wild, though. You look at his career accolades. You remember that first Jets season. There was so much hype there. And I, at the time, was frustrated by it, but I could totally understand it. Because you saw when Manning went to the Broncos, when Brady went to the Bucs, damn it, it still worked. They're still awesome. Like, the quarterback position, especially now, I always go back to that old Ray Lewis quote when he was talking about, you know, as an NFL player, just when you've totally figured it out mentally. The game has just slowed to a standstill for you. When you can do it, your body gives up on you. You've hit that point. You're 35, yes. 36, your body gives up on you. That's not the same for quarterbacks. Now, you're actually playing better as you get older, as long as your body didn't fall apart due to injuries, because everything has slowed down for you. And where Manning and Brady still put up great seasons, won a Super Bowl each for their new teams. You know, Manning had an all-time season, 55 touchdowns, 10 picks. Brady's still throwing for 5,000 yards. He actually retires before it even hits, you know, rock bottom. Rodgers instead blows out his Achilles, and then the next year it's a disaster. He gets a bunch of coaches fired, and the Jets have to entirely start over.
But even then, it was something that was also ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the last thing I'll say about this, but Rodgers, in his last season in Green Bay, it falls off for him.
It does. It does.
Because the 3 years prior to 2022, he has a combined 11 interceptions.
Barry Rodgers-esque, yep.
He has 12.
Yeah.
In 22.
Now, to be fair, for some of the other, Brady and Manning, it also made sense why they left. Manning with a neck injury.
He's under 4,000 for the full season.
And you're starting to see like, oh, there's actually holes in your game. It was conveniently ignored because, oh my God, New York City, Jets. And then they ignored it again, coming back from the Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, guys, maybe we should start looking at things when they're starting to happen.
Yeah. Quick timeout here. We do have some news in the NFC South we'll get to as we wrap up the show coming up after a quick timeout. This is WGR.